Hello, and welcome to My Streaming Bubble, the podcast where I talk about the shows I love with the people I tolerate. I'm Jen, and I'm not just your host of this podcast, but I am the law. And here to be judged is none other than the Fergie to my dread, Dozer, as we continue our original versus remake series. Hey, Dozer, it's been a minute.
It's a lie. The evidence has been falsified. It's impossible. I never broke the law. I am the law. I thought that would fit.
It did fit. That was actually worked really well. Oh, so how you been?
I was going to say, you aren't kidding, though. It has been a while. What did we just say? About a year?
About a year.
Yeah, things have been really hectic on my end, so.
Well, and I know we've talked about before how, like, we just have different schedules. I'm a first shifter because of the kids and everything, so it's funny because I'll get texts from you from like 1-2 o'clock in the morning, and then I respond to you at like 7-8 o'clock in the morning, but then I don't hear from you for like another 14 hours.
Yeah.
And that's
fine. Sounds about right.
Yeah. So, but I am excited to sit down and record this episode with you. Cause like I said, it's been a while. I've missed our original versus remake episodes and conversations because they're always so much fun, and I feel like at one point at least one of us gets really mad.
So does that make us married then?
I guess for the podcast
we'll just call it common law.
There you go. So for this episode, Dozer and I will be judging the original 1995 Sly Stone sci-fi action comedy Judge Dredd, which is rentable on various streaming services, to the 2012 remake Dredd with Carl Urban, which is free on Tubi, available on Hulu and Amazon Prime with subscriptions, rentable from other streamers, and of course, both are free at your local library. So we will go ahead and get started. So here is your spoiler warning slash brief synopsis for the movies. I scrolled too far. Give me a second. Okay, so what IMDb says for Judge Dredd 1995, in a dystopian future, Joseph Dredd, the most famous judge, a police officer with instant field judiciary powers, is convicted of a crime he did not commit and must face his murderous counterpart. What IMDb says about Dredd 2012, in a violent futuristic city where the police have the authority to act as judge, jury, and executioner, a cop teams with a trainee to take down a gang that deals the reality-altering drug, slow-mo. And what I says about both is this: just welcome to the wild world of the Dredgyverse. So I did do a quick Twitter poll this morning. I meant to send that out last night, but I forgot, and then I fell asleep, to see which of the two the internet prefers. So since it was only up for a few hours, only two people voted, but they both prefer the 95 version. So that's fun.
Really?
Thanks. Yep. So thanks to the two folks that voted. Appreciate that.
You might want to unfriend them.
I don't think it shows who voted. So it's like still anonymous, but all right. And before we continue on, we'll go ahead and establish what a remake, reboot, and reimagining. This is coming from a Vox article from 2015, because that was the first thing that popped up when I Googled it. So remake loosely recreates one particular film, reboot resets the continuity of an established film series, and a reimagining is remakes with at least one big change. So since we're talking about Judge Dredd and Dredd, and in my Twitter poll, I put the wrong title in year for the Carl Urban version. So that probably didn't help anything either. But I don't think I knew this, but so Judge Dredd is a comic book character. And so according to Wikipedia, just real quick for anyone that didn't know, Judge Joseph Dredd is a fictional character created by writer John Wagner and artist Carlo Esquiera. He first appeared in the second issue of 2000 AD that came out in 1977, which is a British weekly anthology comic. He is the magazine's longest running character. He also appears in a number of film and video game adaptations. Let's see. And then, yeah, I've got like the whole kind of first section from Wikipedia, but we'll just leave it at that. So, Dozer, we'll start with 1995. So what are your thoughts on this movie? And did you know that it was based off a comic book character?
So I did know that it was based off a comic book character. I knew that going in when I first saw it. I don't want to say I saw it in the theaters, but I think I saw it on video right afterwards. So I saw it pretty much when it came out. I know very, very little about the comic book series or the comic itself, other than the fact that pretty much what you saw in the movie is pretty much what I know, maybe a tad bit more. Overall, when I saw it, I think I've actually only seen it up until just watching it recently. I think I may have only ever actually watched it once, maybe twice. I did not really care for it overall.
Really? Okay.
And we'll go into some other reasons why, but I just didn't really, it wasn't what I expected it. Cause like I said, I knew a little bit about the comic. So when I saw the movie, it wasn't at all what I thought it was going to be, or at least not as good. I don't know. Did you know anything about it going in when you saw the 95?
I did not. I actually just learned that it was based off of a comic book. Like I feel like maybe at one point I knew, but it just wasn't important enough for me to retain. So I didn't know that going into watching it, the 95 version for the podcast. And then I was trying to think, I don't think I've ever actually sat down and watched the 95 version from beginning to end. I remember when it came out, I remember kind of catching bits and pieces here and there whenever it was on like HBO or something. But I was never really drawn to the movie, and I'm not sure why. I want to blame it on Rob Schneider.
Wow, are we going to start this early? Shitting on Rob Schneider?
Sure, we can go ahead and do that. Why not? So you probably loved his appearance. And oh yeah, so bottom line is I didn't really care for this movie, which actually kind of surprised me, because it's like there's a lot here that I would enjoy, but there just seemed to be something missing or something that wasn't clicking right for me. And I think I narrowed it down. And as much as I do want to blame Rob Schneider, I think for me, it was actually the score, the music to the movie. It didn't feel like it matched. It just wasn't working for me. So yeah, this movie is kind of, it's got a 5.6 on IMDb. I think I rated it like a 6 or something, because it's fine, but I don't love it, but I don't hate it. Does that make sense?
I'm just surprised you rated it a 6. Okay, that's higher than I would have went, but okay. I mean, I wouldn't have given it as a 1 or nothing, but it would not have been over a 4. I'll give it that.
And that's fair. I was thinking about it, and I'm like, well, I was still entertained, you know, as kind of cheesy and corny as it is, and how very like 90s action comedy movie it is. It's very tropey and all of that, and it's got the cheesy one-liners, and I did, as much as some of them made me roll my eyes, I did get a good chuckle. So I'm like, all right, you get points for making me laugh and not always at you.
Okay, so you're starting to hit a lot of my points. So I want to
take it away.
I just want to back up to one of the first things you said about what didn't fit. And I actually thought that the music was really good. I thought it kind of fit.
Really?
I read an article about it. And apparently it was either the writer, director were having a problem with Sylvester Stallone, because the director and writer wanted to keep it on a more darker, kind of slower paced movie.
Mm-hmm.
But then Sylvester Stallone, who knew nothing about the comic even going into it, thought it should be more like a buddy cop comedy action film.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where the disconnect really happens, is you've got a director and a writer that wanted to stay true to the comic as best as they could. And then you've got a guy who's a big name actor, you know, all that. It's my way or the highway kind of bullshit, who didn't know anything about the comic, somebody that doesn't know anything trying to tell somebody else how to do their job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a lot of where that disconnect comes from. It tries so hard to stay to the comic, and yet it just doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and in learning that for today's recording, that Sly had like a very heavy hand in the direction of this movie, where the director's original vision is completely lost, was completely taken over. And that really sucks, because this movie, I would have liked to have seen what 95 kind of dark, gritty Judge Dredd would have looked like, because I think this just wasn't doing it for me. And I think because it went more action comedy and kind of doing what Sly wanted them to do, and like hiring Rob Schneider because Sly wanted him for the role or whatever, it really feels like they kept the music that maybe they kind of had in mind for the more darker, dramatic version, because the music just felt overly dramatic for some of these scenes. And like, okay. I don't know, something about, like, I kind of got like Star Wars-y vibes from it, even though this movie, it's like, it's dramatic, but like in a campy way. Whereas the music kind of seems to set up these very like intense moments, like the courtroom scene and everything. And it just kind of took me out of it. So maybe the music was supposed to match the original tone, and then not a lot of update. I don't know, but that really was, the music really was what took me out the most.
Are you looking at my notes? Can you see that? I literally wrote down that, yeah, it had a Star Wars-esque theme or feel to it.
Yes.
I wrote that down too.
That's wild. This is okay.
Yeah, now this is really starting to scare the shit out of me. Get out of my head.
Yeah, I don't want to be there. Trust me.
Well, neither do I.
So then, okay, with the whole like Sly having this influence, I kind of wanted to ask this question of, do you think actors should have that much of an input and push and in their role or in the direction of the movie, to the point where it completely changes what the director had in mind?
I would argue no. But I say that, like, if Stallone's going to come up to me and I'm the director, and he says, I want to do this, this, and this, and this, and I'll be like, well, that doesn't really fall in with the source material as well as it could. And he goes, well, I don't know anything about the source material. Then I'm just going to tell you to shut the fuck up, turn around, and do your job, because I don't want to hear your garbage. If you know nothing about what we're actually trying to do, then you should be the last person telling me my job.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is to do what I tell you to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I, as a rule, I don't think actors should. But if, you know, you got, I don't know, say some guy that's starring in a Super Mario movie, but, and he's played the game, you know, he knows the history and stuff of it. Yeah, maybe he should, because you got somebody directly immersed in it. But for Stallone to do what he did with this, it's just, I mean, and let's face it, this was 95. So he's already been coming off a bunch of big hits already. Mm-hmm. And so.
Yeah, he is the draw. He is the name that people, he's why people are going to want to see this movie in 95.
I would agree with that, because I do think that just the name Judge Dredd in the title would not have garnered a whole lot of support if they had not known Stallone was involved. Mm-hmm. I mean, I barely knew about Judge Dredd in 95.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do I want to say it? I feel like if they'd have gotten anybody else to do this, and I literally mean anybody else, this could have been a better movie.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was Stallone, it just didn't fit.
See, I think it still might have worked even with Stallone if they kept it the original director, like the original vision that the director had, because I was reading he was a fan of the comic growing up, so he knew this character and he knew how he wanted to present it. And I don't think actors should have this much of an influence on a project, on a movie, or on a role. It's one thing to add things to the character that they're playing, and, you know, what, where they're pulling from for their emotions and whatnot for the scene. That's fine. But it sounds like Sly really was like, just, no, we're doing it my way. I'm the draw. I'm the reason why people are going to come and see this movie. So we're going to do it how I want it. And it really just hurt the movie. I think, what do you think if they had done 95, but with the 2012 storyline?
I still have a feeling they'd have fucked it up in 95. I mean, it's not so much the story that was bad. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a turn every second. The movie's way too fast paced for me. It seemed like every line something turns on its head. Like after every line, it's like, wait, what's actually going on here?
Mm-hmm.
It was just way too fast for that movie. And one of the other things I'd either read or heard, I forget where I saw it, but one of the other things that they also wanted to do in the 95 was not have Judge Dredd take off his helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And either the studio or even Stallone himself said, no, he's the draw. We mm-hmm. got to show his face. So that kind of takes away the element of what Judge Dredd is supposed to be.
Right. Yeah, I had that written down too, because when I saw that, I kind of chuckled because I was like, oh, he's supposed to keep his helmet on just like the Mandalorian. But then he took his helmet off like the Mandalorian, in which then he should have been disgraced like the Mandalorian and then redeemed himself like the Mandalorian. So, yeah, they really, and that's kind of one of the things I liked about the 2012 version, is that even though I'm not familiar with the comic, kind of reading that they stayed true to the source material with Carl Urban keeping the helmet on, there seemed to be, from what I was reading, more nods to the comic, just, you know, side character names, some of the other judges, stuff like that. So I thought that was cool. I thought that's kind of a nice tip of the hat to the source material and a nice finger to the 95 version. So let's see, what else have I got here? Oh, and then I was also reading that, because when I was watching it, the 95 version, I was like, I'm getting like some RoboCop vibes here. And then look, Dozer's got his hands in the air. Yeah. And then, yeah, so reading, kind of doing the research, RoboCop took a lot from the Judge Dredd comics. And so since they were going to be so similar, the Judge Dredd movie got pushed back. And I totally could see that. And I prefer the RoboCop. I prefer RoboCop over 95 Judge Dredd. If I had to choose between the two, I think it's pretty easy to decide that. But that's just,
you're talking the original RoboCop or the remake?
The original. You did that on purpose.
The original RoboCop will beat almost any movie you put in front of it. As far as I'm concerned, RoboCop is one of the greatest movies ever made.
Oh, it's so good. Okay, did you pick up on that too? Well, obviously, because you threw your hands in the air, the whole like kind of RoboCop vibe. Do you have anything else, or what was your take on all of that?
No, I'll just let you go ahead and steal all my goddamn thunder.
See, this is why I missed having you on, because it's just me talking and you being like, yep.
Wait. I feel like you've seen my notes already, because you've literally hit on dang near, at some point you hit at something I was going to say already. So, but one of the things I wrote down is you could definitely tell it was one of those 90s Stallone movies, especially within, I think it was like the what, first 10 or 15 minutes. Like you said, how many one-liners are they throwing off in there?
That's so many.
I lost count. I literally just stopped counting. I was like, you know what? This is stupid. But yeah, like in the first 15 minutes, it's, I think I counted like 8 or 9 just stupid one-liners.
Yeah, didn't even think to try and keep track, but I wrote down some of my favorite lines, whether for good or bad. And let's see, there was something, one person says, let me guess, life. And then the other person goes, death, which is just classic. And then there's the other confrontation with Rico and someone else. Like, what is the meaning of life? It ends. Like, the fuck? Doesn't make any sense. And then Rob Schneider has a dumb line about, you didn't say anything about cocking. Let's see. Hershey has the line, that's judge, bitch, at the end. And then, of course, Stallone's last line while fighting the baddie, courts adjourn. But that's not his only one-liner in that scene. He has like three more before that. Like, pick one.
Oh yeah, like I said, they were just trying to, sorry about that.
Sorry.
They just kept rattling them off, but like especially the beginning and the end. And then they had a few, there weren't too many throughout the movie, but like they wanted you to, like, that's the one thing they wanted you to take away from the fact that the movie was shitty, was all the one-liners. I feel like that's what they were trying to hammer home. The middle of the movie doesn't matter. You're not going to remember any of that crap.
Not really. Yeah. So this movie, 95, it's, I don't know. It's okay, I guess. I don't, because I wasn't like, I didn't watch it a lot as a kid. I don't have any kind of like nostalgia or anything attached to it. So.
Well, when was the first time you actually did watch? Was this actually the first time you sat down and just watched?
Mm-hmm. From beginning to end. Okay. Yep. Yep. So.
Yeah. Cause I remember all the hype that it was getting back in 95. That was supposed to be that, I think it was that year's summer movie to see.
I can
which
see that.
Apparently some people did go and then told all their friends not to because it didn't apparently do very well in the box office. I think it only did, what did I write down? I think it was only like 30 million or something like that. Mm. I wrote it down somewhere. Well, I guess I didn't write down the number, but yeah, it was just a flop at the box office. Like, I think it made enough to make its money back, but that was it.
Yeah. And, you know, and I remember always seeing like the previews, the trailers or whatever for it. And they just constantly replaying Rob Schneider's bit, like lines when he's like kind of mocking the way Stallone talks and all of that. And it was just like, I don't know why they were pushing for like the comedic piece so much for an R-rated movie. And it's like Stallone was pushing to have it be PG-13.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how can this be PG-13, dude? Or the robot rips a person's arms off. I mean, we don't actually see it, but there was a lot of like the other death scenes that were more graphic. I guess it originally had an NC-17 rating.
Yeah, it did. But like I said, so the director wanted to keep it R-rated and Stallone was pushing for the buddy cop comedy action movie, mm-hmm. which you can still do. I mean, Lethal Weapon did a great job of that.
Yeah.
So it can be done. It's just, but then Stallone wanted to make it PG-13 as well. And it's like, come on now, what do you want to do here with this? But once again, not having known the source material, this is the kind of crap you come up with. So, mm-hmm.
yep.
I do not blame the director at all. This was not his fault.
No, I would agree with that. So, yeah. It's just unfortunate, maybe possibly what this could have been, because what we got is.
So speaking of that, then.
Yes.
What it could have been is what we actually got in, I think it was 2012, the mm-hmm. movie we should have got.
Yes. So what did you think of 2012 and Carl Urban's Dread?
Surprisingly well. I wouldn't say it was the greatest. It was this. I know nothing about this guy. I don't know that I've ever seen him in anything else, so I wouldn't know what to compare his other work to. But for what the character he was asked to play, I thought he did a pretty damn good job.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think? Do you know who he is or know anything else he's done?
Yep. So Carl Urban has been in, well, he stars in The Boys on Amazon Prime right now as Butcher, and he's fucking phenomenal as Butcher. Let's see. He was in Thor Ragnarok as an Asgardian. Scourge, I think, was the character he played. He's also in the Chris Pine Star Trek movies as Bones. And he's really, really good as he's so good. I love it. And so I've seen him in a handful of things. And I'm always kind of a little blown away at how well he takes on these characters, because sometimes, and it's not just the look of the characters too, but sometimes it takes me a minute to realize that that's Carl Urban, because he doesn't, you know, he uses an American accent here, or, you know, speaks in his English or Australian accent. I think more of an English accent, but either way. So I think he does a really good job. I think he's a great actor and he's fun to watch, especially in The Boys. So he's like perfect for the Butcher role. I love it. The 2012 version, we actually watched years and years ago. And so I've actually seen this one before from beginning to end, and I liked it. I thought it was interesting. I liked this darker, gritty tone. I liked this hyper stylized violence. Lena Headey is in it. And so she was still doing Game of Thrones at the time. So she filmed this movie in between Game of Thrones seasons. So it's like I was already used to her playing kind of a villain type, but holy shit, Mama is straight up scary and brutal and ruthless, and I love it. And I thought Lena Headey did a great fucking job with this character, like truly terrifying. So I enjoyed 2012. I really did. I think it's a pretty good updated version. Because we'll discuss
I was gonna say, I'm just kind of, because now that I'm looking through the cast of the 2012, I don't know that I've ever seen anything else any of these people have done. They must be that young, because I am not remembering any of these people.
Well, let's see. Olivia Thirlby, who plays the rookie, basically, in the 2012 version. When I looked her up, I'd only, like, she was in the movie Juno. I'm not sure the role or anything, but that was the only other movie I had seen with her in. And again, I don't know. It's been a while since I've watched Juno, so I don't even know, like, how, if she was just, like, a background character or just a side character or what. Lena Headey, like I said, I mostly know her from Game of Thrones, and then she did appear in the show White Collar for at least like an episode or two, I think. I can't remember. But that's really, I mean, Carl Urban and Lena Headey at this point are the only ones that I know. I don't think I was super familiar with Carl Urban when we watched this for the first time, but definitely knew Lena.
And I'm just looking at Wikipedia here, and it's they've got one other person listed as a headliner, which is what's the guy's name here? Wood Harris, the guy that gets taken.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Arrested.
Yep.
I haven't seen anything he's been in either. I'm just going through his thing. I recognize some names, but never saw any of these. So yeah, I didn't know anybody in this.
Yeah, okay. Oh, so he was in Ant-Man, so I've seen him in that. Other than that, I'm not sure what else I may have seen him in. But yeah, so 2012. How did you like this one? Like, you liked it, but how much?
It was the one I don't want to say it's the movie we should have got, because I'm still a little, I don't know what kind of crap actually happens in the actual comics, but when I heard Psychic, I was like, come on now, guys, you already got Judge Dredd. What else do you need here? Like, what else? What other crap are you trying to pile on here? Honestly. But other than that part, it was a good movie. If they just didn't have that particular aspect to it, I think it would have been the movie that should have been made.
I think I found the whole like addition of the psychic, because the rookie is the psychic. And so I thought the addition of that and this idea of mutants was very interesting. And again, RoboCop vibes, because Wood Harris's character at one point says to Rookie about like, oh, you're a mutant. I thought you were supposed to have, you know, like an extra arm or some sort of deformity. So it made me very curious about this world of Mega City and kind of where the world ends up. And now we have mutants, and we're just not going to fucking talk about it. Okay.
Yeah, it's just
I want a little bit more. But I also thought it was kind of interesting that they just tossed that out there and then didn't come back to it. Like, you're supposed to accept it and move on. This is a world that's so fucked. There are mutants and helpful ones, okay, apparently.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite lines about the whole like psychic thing is she tells Dredd a helmet, because he's like, where's your helmet? And she's like, a helmet interferes with my psychic abilities. And he responds with, a bullet would interfere with it more.
Yeah, exactly. I laughed at that one. That was a good one.
So it still has some like good, funny kind of one-liners, but just not like cramming them down our throats. And they're more quality than quantity, I thought.
And yeah, and not only that, though, like you said, quality, like that's the thing. It was actually in the moment. Like, it was something that, and it made sense. Like, you know, like the bullet in the head. Yeah, that'll interfere too. So it's like, yeah, that it. I get it then, and it's funny. So
yeah.
Not just. I knew you'd say that.
Yeah. Oh God. And what a dumb fuck. Oh, shit. I knew he was going to say that. Haha. One of the other things I kind of liked about 2012 was we get a little bit more information about Mega City right in the very beginning with the voiceover of Dredd. Not a whole hell of a lot, but a hell of a lot more than we got in the 95 version. It was just like, oh, here it is. And then there's like the different levels for the different punishments or whatever, sentencing. And I'm like, okie dokie. Whereas I kind of like how just truly how dark they set this up to be. Dark and dystopian. I like it.
Well, while I said this was a decent movie and all that, and it still is, the only thing I wish they really would have done, especially for the layperson who probably doesn't understand what Judge Dredd actually is supposed to be doing and all that, mm-hmm. they kind of glossed over the whole police officer, jury, judge, and in some cases, executioner. Like, they kind of don't really go into a whole lot of that. Like, they tag on it in the beginning of the movie, but then it's just everybody's getting killed anyway, so there's mm-hmm. there's no substance to what he actually is and mm-hmm. what he does. It's just, they tease it a little bit, so you got an idea, but then after that, everybody's just on a death sentence anyway, so. And clearly, if you're driving down the road in 2012, it didn't matter whether you were innocent or not, because somebody's shooting at you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Those poor people on the road, they're just driving to work, and all of a sudden, there's a goddamn gunfight just going down the road.
Oh, God. Or you live in one of those, like, big buildings, like the Peachtree or whatever, and you're just on the lower level, just doing your thing, and skinned bodies just start dropping from the sky.
Yeah.
You're there, you got your baby in the stroller. Holy fuck.
Just minding your own business, being a law-abiding citizen.
Yep.
And then you get trapped in the damn building.
And then you're just told to stay out of the way until the shooting stops. But, like, the shooting is, like, almost nonstop and just ripping through walls and doors and just...
Yeah, I mean...
What a terrible place to live.
I mean, Jesus Christ. She sits there in the movie and tells him just stay indoors. And when this is all over, you can come out. But then at some point, she puts up those three miniguns that literally obliterate the whole goddamn level.
Mm-hmm.
And just people are dying because they were told to stay indoors. And then what happens? They still die. What the?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not like she gives a shit.
Well, clearly not.
So what did you think about Mama and the slow-mo drug? And with the slow-mo drug, we get slow-mo death, all sparkly and pretty.
I thought that was pretty cool. I don't know if you liked it or not, but it was something different. It looked great. I mean, I only saw it on a regular DVD. I don't know how if you watched it in 4K or anything like that, but it looked still good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know I was going to ask you that. What format did you watch both of them on?
Oh, let's see. Well, I watched Dredd because that one's on Hulu, so whatever format it's on Hulu, and then I got Judge Dredd from the library, and that one was, it looked like all the special effects had been touched up, but then I couldn't figure out how to get like the screen to actually like fill my TV screen, you know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, it didn't update like the aspect ratio or whatever, so it's like I had the movie part and then several inches of black between the edges of the movie and then like a border.
Was it all the way around or just on the sides?
It was all the way around.
Okay, yeah, I think that's called like letterboxing or something like that. It's something to do with like, yeah, it's the formatting, because I'm assuming it was just a DVD then.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think it has something to do with that, where like because I do have older DVDs that do this exact same thing. Apparently, there's a way to switch it around. I'm just not that good, and instead of wasting a half hour trying to figure it out, I could already been a half hour into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I own a goddamn 60-inch TV. I'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I didn't try to figure it out because I'm like, it's not going to be worth it. I'll just, you know, tough it through. But the 95 special effects did look touched up and not too bad, knowing that they're 95 effects touched up. I was like, okay, that's all right. That's all right. The big city and all the vehicles and everything. And then the 2012, because we had only like rented that when we first watched it. So again, just on like a regular old flat screen. still looks really good. I liked that plot point, that plot line better. I liked it the first time I saw it, and I still liked it now. I liked that we're kind of in this, really kind of showing how dark and dystopian this future is. You know, we've got this, you know, drug lord, head gangster person, woman that takes over an entire complex and pushes out all the other gangs, all the other, you know, families or whatever that are occupying the Peachtree building, and just the ruthlessness of it. And like this insane drug that they're selling, it's highly addictive and it slows everything down. And the way that that was filmed, I loved it. I thought it was very, very cool and kind of different, and definitely not what I was expecting. I don't really know what I was expecting from 2012, but not necessarily this. And I really enjoyed it because it was a pleasant surprise versus the 95 version where it's eugenics and AI generated photos are just thriving and doing great. And then it's brother versus secret brother. And
yeah, it seemed like it was a year long soap rolled into an hour and 30 minutes.
Okay, now you need to stop looking at my notes, because I did have that 1995 had very like soap opery-y moments.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. And again, I think that's just some of the over dramatics in some of these scenes where I'm just like, dude, you don't need to take it to 12. This movie's is at least a 6. You don't need to take it way up there.
Do you suppose that the 95 was just, like you said, just that overdone, that we're just picking up on what, I mean, I guess any layperson, well, clearly you're talking to me, so.
And you're talking to me, so.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, so, but I just don't.
Well, and it's like, I wonder if, I don't think it would have changed my mind if I did have some sort of like nostalgia attachment to this. Like if it was something that like maybe me and my dad sat and watched or something, I think I would have thought it was bad then. I mean, clearly I thought it was not good enough to even try to watch, but I just don't love this movie. But like the character Hershey and everything, like I think for the most part, it kind of like has aged well. I didn't find nothing really stood out as like, oh, that's not good. That's extremely problematic for 2023 times. You know, nothing overtly, you know, like racist or sexist or anything like that. It's a pretty standard movie for 95 with the casting and everything. Hershey's a pretty cool, like kick-ass judge. And then, of course, you know, she falls for Dredd by the end, and then smoochy, smoochy, but whatever. That's going to happen in a 90s action movie. So it's got that going for it, I think.
Well, hold on.
All right. So,
what are we talking about here?
Well, I started going on a rant about how this, the 95 still, I didn't find anything overtly problematic for today's standards or anything like that. It's a comedy action comedy made in 95.
Yeah. I don't know how what more you can say about a movie that you would just label as meh.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. What's wrong?
I don't think the cat liked it either.
You're fine.
No. Watch out for him, though. All right. Yeah, she's trying to bring in groceries, and now the cats are
going apey.
Yeah, now they're attacking my beer. Yeah, but it's hard to talk about. You can edit all that shit out. It's hard to talk about a movie that's just, like I said, meh. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like if it, once again, I feel like we've had this conversation with a few movies during this whole original versus remake, that if it wasn't attached to the name Judge Dredd, this maybe could have been a decent movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that, like I said, unless you kind of knew it was a comic beforehand, you literally could have called it anything else and it had been fine. But if you went into it knowing that it was, oh, Judge Dredd is supposed to be this character, and then saw it, yeah, you'd be a little probably peeved off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. What there's not a whole hell of a lot, especially anything good to say about a movie that's just kind of eh. So I did like the upgrade in the Judge Dredd in the judge's uniforms from 95 to 2012. They ditched the spandex and cod piece and ridiculous shoulder pads.
Yeah.
For more practical, it makes sense, like tactical kind of gear. That it seemed more probable in this dystopian future.
Yeah. And now that I just thought of this now. So as we're talking that the updated uniform, and now that you say it, because the helmet that Carl Urban is wearing in the 2012 looks almost exactly like Magneto's helmet. So do you suppose the rookie couldn't read his mind because of it?
Oh, maybe.
like kind of a throw to X-Men for some reason. I don't know. I mean, like maybe
we've got the mutant aspect, so why not the the anti-telepathic helmets?
And I'm sure there's probably some universe where Judge Dredd faces the X-Men or some shit like that. So I'm sure that's probably maybe that's what it's a nod to as well. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. Who knows? But I hadn't really put that together. But that's pretty. I think that's kind of fun. And then in the 95 version, they also say at one point that the judge's uniforms are easy to fake or replicate. How about like not have that be a thing? How about make it a little harder? What the fuck? You can't just come out and admit that. Oh God, I laughed so hard at that part. I was like, but why? Oh shit. All right. And then in 2012, Carl Urban, his version of Dredge gets shot with the armor piercing. I like that the guns seem to be the only consistent thing between the two movies. And so I'm guessing that's the guns are still probably very loyal to the comics.
From what I understand, yes. But like the Batmobile is in Batman, the gun is the same thing in Judge Dredd, where it's kind of its own character. So I feel like if there's one thing you cannot screw up, it is that.
Mm-hmm. I could see that. I would agree with that. Because I do kind of remember the gun being like a thing, you know, in the 95 version. That something that just kind of stood out that was different, interesting, unique, or what have you. So I like that they kept a lot of that, a lot of the same like commands and ammunition styles. I didn't write it down. But both of them had like the split, like double split or something. And it fired like two bullets to hit two targets kind of thing. So I did like that. But then, yeah, in 2012, Carl Urban gets hit with one of the armor piercing ones and he's got a big old hole in himself, but he busts out like the best med kit ever. And he's just like basic field dressing. And it's like, there's like a laser to cauterize some weird staples that then also like cinch the wound together. And then he's fine. Yay.
Instant treatment, right?
Yep. All right, let's see. What else have I got to say? So in this dystopian future and the rise of these, you know, especially in the 2012 and the rise of these drug controlled, fueled gangs, in the 2012, it almost seems to kind of justify the need for judges and this judge, jury, executioner kind of role. Again, similar to RoboCop and just dispensing justice on the streets. What did you think of that, of kind of that whole, for both of them, for both versions really, these worlds where these judges are necessary, quote necessary?
Clearly I would never, I don't think anybody should be arresting, charging, judging, and then carrying out sentencing. Not one person should have all those things. There's a reason why we have three branches of government. There's a reason why we have police officers, lawyers, judges, and other things that take care of that stuff. So that not one person can make a mistake or have a bias. There is there are checks and balances, or at least people to be like, wait a second, this isn't right here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody to bring that up. So yeah, it's an interesting concept, and clearly I mean, for Christ's sake, if life is that bad in 2012 in some of those places, I get it. I just wouldn't have you. I guess I know it's a mega city. I'd say just I'm packing up my crap and moving. But a lot of those big buildings, it's you could go from birth to death and never leave those buildings because they're so high. Mm-hmm. They've got shops. Mm-hmm. They've got, I mean, there's a movie theater in one of them. They've mm-hmm. got a hospital. They've got grocery stores. You could literally never step foot outside of that building for your entire life and be okay.
As long as it wasn't run by the mama clan.
Well, yeah, there's that. But even then, it still seemed like there were people that never saw the light of day outside.
Oh, yeah.
Other than through a window.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
I mean, yeah, of course I don't like this whole, you know, the whole judge, jury, executioner concept. I agree that we need to maintain those checks and balances. And it's like, even in RoboCop, for the most part, RoboCop still tried to bring them in for justice. But, you know, shit happens. And sometimes you got to murder the baddies. But, so yeah, I'm not entirely... It's pretty scary, right? This idea that things have gotten so bad that we as society or the government or whatever decides this is the only way to combat these problems with like this high level of like drugs and gang violence. I mean, just ruthlessness on the part of like the mama clan and everything. And so it's... I don't like this idea that we've completely handed over the role of the entire criminal justice system to beat cops officially. So it's, yeah, I don't like it, but it sure does make for an interesting 2012 version.
And you're also talking about and this is the checks and balances and having different people do operate different parts of the judicial system. And, so you have, like you said, a beat cop, but so they're seeing the worst of the worst. And at some point, it's just going to wear on them. So at what point do you just sit there and trump up the charges just so you can execute them, just so you don't have to deal with them anymore?
Right.
So you don't have to deal with repeat offenders and all that crap. I mean, and that's one of the things that they kind of touched in 95, but also revisited in 2012 was in 95, they were trying to get stricter sentencing for minor crimes mm-hmm. so that they can eliminate. And I think because they wanted to make some offenses punishable by death, mm-hmm. some even lowercase stuff. And then when they did that, and when they talked about it in 2012, when he said that she goes, it's her assignment. She's basically going through training.
Mm-hmm.
And he lists off all these things. Your training start or your what did he call it?
What was it? It wasn't. They didn't use the word training, and I can't think of what term they use. But shadowing, we'll just say something like that.
Yeah, he's just there. She makes all the decisions, and she goes, well, where do we start? And he goes, there's X amount of crimes happening every minute, and we can only get to, I think he said 7% or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes, just pick one.
Yeah.
So it's like, God damn, there's not even a priority anymore. It's just, just pick one.
Yeah. It's just so many to choose from.
even if it was a murder charge, even if it was, or murder was going on, you still only got a 7% chance that they're ever going to show up. That is mm-hmm. brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see, what else have I got here? So I've got a couple of things that I pulled from IMDb. Let's see. Okay, so in 2012, after Dredd tells the Peachtree citizens to disperse and warns them that the lethal force will be used, he then tells them they have 20 seconds to comply. This is the same thing the ED-209 robot says to Mr. Kinney before shooting him in RoboCop. More RoboCop vibes.
Well, when you got to steal from the best, man. That's all I'm saying.
Right? And then this, another one from 2012 that I thought was kind of interesting, was the chief judge is not referred to by name in this film. In appearance, she is a combination of chief judges Magruder and Silver. And the setting, the boundary wall and the Fergie memorials are both referred to, would place the time of the film in Mega City history as Magruder's first period in office. So with this little nugget, it's kind of, what, I don't know. What do you think of that? So this is there. Is it, do you think it's, what do you think? I'm sorry. I can't put thoughts and words together.
Yeah, I guess not much, because I know what you're referring to. I just don't remember which one's which. Mm-hmm. So I guess the time, and plus, like I said, my knowledge of Judge Dredd in and of itself is really limited, so it doesn't really mean a whole lot to me.
Well, I had to
get it though.
Yeah. Well, and I had to look up, you know, who was Judge Magruder in the 95, and you know, she's like the older woman with like the white gray hair or whatever, like the chief judge lady, and I think we only see her like a handful of times.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, so this, if we're all working within the same Judge Dreddy verse and Joseph Dredd, this is early in Dredd's judging, or at least early in the Magruder period.
I don't know.
I just thought that was kind of interesting, because it seems like it's trying to set it up as put in some sort of continuity between the two films.
Which doesn't make any sense.
And because, you know, and maybe not necessarily. Maybe that's just how my mind wanted to interpret it, to see if there was if lines could be drawn to the two. But yeah, I don't know.
Well, from what I understood, the creator of Judge Dredd, John Wagner, and the director of the 2000, what's the director's name, Pete Travis, they were not looking to do any nods or anything like that to the 95. They were strictly trying to do this as its own thing.
Gotcha.
Which takes us back to the question, is it a remake, reboot, or reimagining?
Mm-hmm.
I would say that 2012 is a reboot of the 95, but I would also say 95 is a reimagining of the comic itself.
Mm-hmm. I would agree that 95 would definitely be classified, I think, as a reimagining. I would almost say that, because I had reimagining for 2012, because I'm like, okay, so it's like a remake with one major change. And for me, that major change is, you know, like, we don't know anything about Judge Dredd's history, his personal life, his childhood, and that he's not some genetically engineered soldier, basically. And because, again, I don't know if that's his backstory in the comics. I'm not sure if either of these storylines from either movie are come from the comics, but because, yeah, now I'm thinking, I don't know if I'd say reboot, but I don't know that I'd say remake either.
Well, according to Wagner and Travis themselves, they said it is not a remake. They made that clearly specific in an article I read back in 2012, I believe it was. I can pull it up if you want me to, but
yeah, I believe,
yeah, yeah, but they said it is not a remake. So,
and that I agree with. I don't know if it's necessarily, because per the definitions that we've just kind of been going by, a reboot resets the continuity of an established film series. I don't know. It's hard to count the Dredd films as like a series, because there's only the 95, you know, and it's not like there were any sequels to come after that to reset continuity. So just because of that tiny little like technicality is where I'm just like, I don't know that I would call it a reboot. If anything, I would call this a reimagining, a remake with at least one big change. And as for what we're given, the big change is Dredd's backstory. because we don't get one in 2012. He's just, he's just a judge.
And so the reason I phrase it the way I did is because I would, if you're going to call 2012 a reimagining, the only thing I would say is that the only reason it's a reimagining compared to the 95 is because 2012 actually stayed pretty close to the goddamn source material. So fair if point. That's the definition of a reimagining, is just staying true to the source material, that doesn't seem right to me either.
Okay. All right. Fair points.
So that's why I say that the 95 would be a reimagining of the comic book.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I would give to do that is that in the comic books, from what I read, is that Judge Dredd is unchanging for the most part. Like, he is the same person as he is from day one till day now.
Mm-hmm.
There are the writer John Wagner, the creator of Judge Dredd, when he said is he does change over time, but he said it would be like at a glacial thaw. Like, sure. It is so slow. Like, at any given point, you probably wouldn't necessarily notice until you go to two extremes.
Okay.
And that's what they did in 2012, because there's only one time that Dredd changes his mind and grows as a person. And that's when he gives her all those pass-fail criteria in the beginning. And in the middle of the movie, she says, well, I've already failed because I failed one of those criteria. And then at the end, he has a little bit of compassion, sees the value in her, and just passes her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's the glacial slow in that for hour and a half movie there.
Mm-hmm.
But in the 95, it is boom, 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 yeah. Boom, boom, boom. Like, he's...
Yeah, like you said, too, it's not paced well. Everything kind of happens, like, it just doesn't really make sense. You know, like you said, like, in 2012, we get a gradual change in Dredd. Whereas, yeah, in 95, it's... He seems to be this hardened, stoic judge in the beginning. And then it's like... And then he gets all emotional in the courtroom.
Yeah.
That part kind of took me out too, because I'm like, why do I feel like this character is not supposed to be the emotionally yelly type? Because yeah, he got real mad. All right. Well, let's see. I think we'll do Stray Bubbles before we do our Rank the Remakes. So is there anything else that you want to, that you need to share that you didn't get a chance to? Fun facts, rants, raves, faves, etc.?
Well, I wanted to ask you this, because I don't know why this popped in my head, but have you ever seen a good Rob Schneider movie? Like, I'm not talking like, okay, he's just a passing character. Like, I love Demolition Man. It's a great movie. Mm-hmm. And he was okay in it because he only had, I think, two lines. So that's fine. But have you ever seen a movie that you liked where he's more of a mainstay in it?
No. Like, he's in a handful of Adam Sandler movies, right? Because there are besties and whatnot. And I like some of those, but I don't like them because of Rob Schneider.
Exactly.
I'm to the point now, especially with Adam Sandler comedies, where if Rob's not in it, then I'm just like, they must have had a fight. So, no, I have never seen a good Rob Schneider movie where he is the star. He is the lead.
Well, I've seen him. I just didn't like him. And that's the point. I don't know. There's something about the guy.
See, and I haven't even, because, like, what, one of them is, like, the hot chick?
I was just going to pull up Rob Schneider's filmography. I hope my computer doesn't hate me for it.
Right now it's all like, oh, you like Rob Schneider, here's all the Rob Schneider things.
You accidentally click on one gay porn and all of a sudden that's all you get. Jesus Christ,
that's right. Oh yeah, the Deuce Bigalow movies.
I look at all these movies and like I said, Demolition Man, loved it. Muppets from Space, love, well, it's the Muppets,
yeah, right.
Grandma's Boy, love that movie.
I love that movie.
But those the in those movies, he's not. He's barely in them. Mm-hmm. He's got like maybe a couple lines, and then he's done. Mm-hmm. Perfect. I feel like that's what his career should just be. Is yeah. just, hey guys, I'm here.
I mean, clearly it is. Like, he's got a lot going on here on his IMDb, and very few seem to be like the main role.
Yeah, and it just, I don't know, when was that? That must have been around the early 2000s when people were like, hey, let's give Rob Schneider a chance. And then they realized what happened, and they're like, oh, no, maybe we're just pushing back in the back again. Other than that, I don't have anything else much to say other than obviously 95 was a flop. It didn't stay true to the original content that should have been. 2012 was pretty much the movie we deserved for Judge Dredd. I guess the script had to be rewritten a few times, like from scratch, because they wanted to add some of the more bigger characters and longer stories from the comics into the 2012 one. And then they just said it's too long, we can't do it. So they just kind of made up a new thing for the Dredd movie. So they kept who he was intact, just made up kind of a new character for him to fight and baddie, so that they could condense it into the hour and a half is what that was.
Gotcha. All right. Nothing wrong with that, I guess. I did read that both movies are 96 minutes, like exactly. And granted, really? You know, to have an hour and a half action flick, no big deal. But I was like, huh, they kept the 2012 to 96 minutes, which is the runtime for the 95. Good job. I don't know. Maybe they are only little nod to the 95.
Yeah.
Is that they acknowledge it doesn't need to be any longer than that. let's see, a couple other things. Carl Urban, I love that he kept his face all frowny and grumpy looking, that scowl. And again, he keeps his helmet on. And then according to IMDb, in a recent interview recollecting on this movie, Carl Urban said he refused to smile or take the helmet off at any point during the movie's filming or even in between takes. He spoke with an American accent and kept a scowl the whole time and stayed serious to keep in character. At one point, a cast member made a joke causing laughter on the set, and Urban gave him the Dredd stare, prompting the person to immediately apologize. I love that. I don't know. I just love that. And then the other little fun fact is some of Mama's tattoos are Lena Headey's actual tattoos. Most notably, the flower on her upper right arm. The makeup artist took the design and expanded it to her neck and her face. So I just thought that was very, very cool. Because Lena does have a fair number of tattoos.
Oh, yeah.
From what I've seen. So, all right. Are you ready to rank our remakes?
No. I looked at the list and I was like, oh, man. I don't even remember what I did last time. So
I had to pull up my list from Total Recall. And it looks like, yes, we recorded Total Recall on May 30th, 2022. So almost a year to the day.
Oh, my God.
Just a week shy of a year. So I had to kind of copy my answers. I made a minor tweak, but there's a handful of movies kind of in this mix that really could go. Like there could just be like a multi-way tie between like,
yeah, I have that too.
So I did give them actual rankings, but keep in mind these could change the next time, next year when we do another one.
Well, I hope it's not that long this time. Hopefully with this new job and I can actually get time to, I'd like to do one once a month if I could, but.
Oh, that'd be great. Like I said, I love doing these. So. All right. Do you still need a minute to get your rankings in order?
Not really. I found my notes from the last one we did. So, yeah, I think I'm good to go.
All right. Well, since you are the guest, you may go first. And we're ranking these on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the worst and 1 being the best remake. So
hold on a second.
You betcha.
Somebody's being naughty.
It got awkward because now he's spanking Virginia.
Yeah, Virginia was up on the table. I had to spray her with the spray bottle.
Down.
Get down. You know better than that. Okay, I think I'm good to go.
All right, whenever you're ready.
So I'm going to, my top ones have not changed at all. I'm still going Little Shop as number one, which I just watched, thank you very much, last night again.
You're welcome. I just have to say that, so we had texted a little bit about planning our next, you know, today's recording or whatever. Like the next day, my husband's like, Dozer has a PlayStation that he will give to us, but I just have to give him back his Little Shop of Horror DVD. And I busted out laughing. I was like, he was just texting. We were just texting like a day ago. And he doesn't mention any of this. He has given up on me.
It wasn't bad, but because I texted Barry about, hey, you want my PS4? And he goes, no, but Timmy may want it. And so I texted Timmy directly and said, you want it? He goes, what do you want for it? And I didn't want anything for it anyway, but I was like, you know what? My DVD would be nice to have back. So I just told him that instead. So that's how that came up. It wasn't like I just abandoned you. I was like, gotcha. This is kind of funny.
Yeah. I got a chuckle out of it. I thought it was hilarious. So, all right. That was a little side tangent. Continue.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, Little Shop is number one. Evil Dead, the remake, number two. Although I haven't watched it since we even talked about it, I may have to go back and rewatch those just for shits and giggles. Mm-hmm. And then I've got this mishmash at three because I got Total Recall, RoboCop, the 2006 Black Christmas, all tied at three. Mm-hmm. Like I could take any of them at three and be happy with it.
Yeah.
Any order after that. So that's 3, 4, 5, 6. So now down to number 7. Oof. 7 I'm going to give to Friday the 13th. And now this is where we get to it. Which one do I... Oh, man. I'm going to give Dread the 8th spot. Nightmare 9. And I don't think this, like I said before, I don't know that this will ever change, but 2019 Black Christmas at dead last.
I love it. All right. Well, I will start with my top, work my way down. So, okay. Number one, Little Shop. Hands down. No argument. Done and done. Number two, Evil Dead. Love it. And I'm hearing really great things about Evil Dead Rise.
I'm trying to record here. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
And like I said, she's being naughty. I had to spray her with the spray bottle.
All right, let's see. So then after Evil Dead, I've got... Now, the next kind of handful, the next few, I can go in any order depending on my mood for the day or whatever. So today, for number three, I've got Black Christmas 2006. Number four, The Thing 2011. I've got Dread at 5 and Total Recall at 6. So 3, really? 4, 5, and 6. Any one of those can be swapped around at any time. So I did enjoy Dread. I would say I enjoyed Dread 2012 more than the Colin Farrell Total Recall. I remember not being a huge, huge fan of that one. Like it was boring or something. Anyway, and then 7, 8, 9, and 10. So 7, RoboCop. I'll give it to RoboCop. 8 is Friday. 9 is 2019 Black Christmas. And the bottom is Nightmare at 10.
Seriously?
Seriously. But truly, any one of those, especially 8, 9, and 10, could be swapped out on any given day. So, because I kind of hate all three of those equally.
As terrible as Nightmare was, I'm still not putting it on. I'm not putting Freddy Krueger underneath that shit show of a movie, Black Christmas 2019. Oh, I'm just not doing it.
I completely understand. I get it. But for me, it's more of like it's just the affront of the nightmare and what they did with Freddy.
So, I mean, I thought the story, and I don't, not to rehash this fucking card, but I thought the story was pretty good. It just wasn't executed very well.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, the only part of that movie worth watching is that cold open in the diner scene. That is still the best scene out of that whole movie.
Yeah, so, you might as well just turn it off after that.
Exactly. All right. Well, now we'll go ahead and move on to our Midwest goodbye. Since we've already done the Stray Bubbles, we'll go ahead and move on to the 6 Degrees of Nicolas Cage, Judge Dredd or Dredd edition. So we wasn't going to make you do both, just one or the other. And where we'll just get to Nicolas Cage in 6 steps or less. How'd you do, Dozer?
I did it in 1.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was easy. How many did you do it in?
Well, let's see. I've got 2 for Dredd and 3 or 2 for Judge Dredd. I did 2 separate ones for Judge Dredd. And then I did 3 separate ones for Dredd. So
how did you get there from Dredd?
Well, why don't you go ahead and let us know your 6 degrees?
Well, I only needed 1. So I just picked Diane Lane out of Judge Dredd.
Mm-hmm.
And I cheated. So I was like, well, they're both old enough. What are the odds they actually did a movie together? So I looked it up. Sure as shit, 1983 Rumblefish.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Nick's got a very small part in it. I think he's actually credited. Either way, very good.
He is credited as, I just had it up.
Is he a Smokey. Coppola? Oh, Smokey. Okay. Well, I couldn't remember if that was like one of his first roles his early roles where he's still listed as a Coppola. Before he picked up Cage as the surname. Very good.
I cheated.
No, that's fine. I did not look out of the Judge Dredd actors. I did not do Diane Lane. I went with Sly and Rob. So with Sly, he was in Spy Kids 3 with Steve Buscemi, who was in Con Air with Nick. Oh. Rob Schneider, he was in Little Nicky with Adam Sandler, who was in Billy Madison with Steve Buscemi.
Oh, so you just went to the same actor again.
Yeah, I tried not. I didn't want to, but I was like, it's still fun. So with Dredd, here are my 3. In Dredd, Olivia Thirlby, she was in 4 episodes of the series Bored to Death that stars Jason Schwartzman, who is Nick's cousin. Lena Headey from Dredd was also in Game of Thrones with Pedro Pascal, who is in Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent with Nick. Great fucking movie. And then Carl Urban, and I think I've used this route before, but Carl Urban was in the movie Red with Helen Mirren, who is in National Treasure Book of Secrets with Nicolas Cage.
Nice.
Thank you. All right. So what's been streaming in your bubble?
Absolutely nothing.
Awesome. Next.
I was telling you before, it's been a rough year. It's been almost all work and no play. So any free time I did have, it's either going to sporting events, concerts, or just taking a night just to play some video games. That's pretty much about it.
All right. What video games are you playing these days?
So I just picked up a 5, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my brother and a friend, we just finished Dead Island 2.
Okay.
And now I'm playing the new God of War, even though it's been out for like a year, but finally got time to sit down and play it a little bit. So I've been playing that now. So
nice.
What about you? Anything good to watch? You keep telling me The Boys, but I haven't had time.
Well, when you do have time, The Boys, cause I think you're really going to like it. I know you're really going to like it.
How many episodes do I have to get into, though, before I can just be like, you know what, this isn't for me?
I think you'll finish the first episode and then be like, next fucking episode.
All right.
I really think you're going to like it. I think there's a lot of like kind of satirical moments and commentary on kind of today's thing in a satirical way that I think you'll really love and appreciate. It's this nice kind of take on superheroes being pieces of shit and the non-superheroes trying to take them down kind of thing. And it's funny and violent and brutal, and it's just so good.
How many episodes are in a season, and then how many seasons are there? If you don't know it off the top of your head, that's fine. I can look it up.
Oh, let's see. No, it's fine. I got IMDb up right here. 2 seasons so far. And so they are kind of like the shorter seasons between like 8 and 9. Oh, I'm sorry. There's 3 seasons available. And there are 8 episodes per season. Okay.
That ain't too bad. And are they hour or half hour?
They're about an hour.
Okay. So 40 some minutes or whatever it is, I think is what they normally are.
Well, since this is an Amazon Prime original, they may be a little closer to 50 minutes, but eh, whatever. And then maybe a few that just breach that hour mark. But either way, I think you're going to like it. And then those ones, and then The Boys are based off of a graphic novel. So I watched season 1 and then I started reading the graphic novels. And I'm not all caught up, but I really like what they've done with the show from the books.
Okay.
Fairly true to the books as well. So
What are you currently watching though?
Oh shit. Well, let's see here. Cause I've had some Okay. So I've been staying current on season 2 of Yellow Jackets, which is fucking bananas. And I love it so much. I love it. Love it. Love it. It is fucking wild. And it's so good. I love the storytelling. Cause it's kind of, there's like the present day characters, but then we get flashbacks to them when they were teenagers in the 80s, because there was like a plane crash and then they were never found. They're kind of deserted, stranded out in the woods, and they've got to live through you find out they've been out there for like a year and a half before they get rescued. And so then there's like a supernatural aspect to it, and not the show, but just spooky woo-wee stuff going on that still has yet to be explained. But the casting for the younger parts to the older counterparts is really great. They do a very good job mimicking each other's, you know, the characters' habits and everything. So that's always, always appreciated. And that's what I've been staying current on. I'm doing a rewatch of Letterkenny and Shoresy for funsy because I love those shows. They're kind of a comfort rewatch for me. Other than that, because I think we're all caught up on everything else that we've been watching. Timmy and I did start The Bear on Hulu and got 2 episodes in. But again, with his work schedule, working like 14 plus hour days, we don't always have time to even watch like a half an hour show when he gets home. So yeah, nothing too new and interesting other than Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, I'm just looking it up here right now just to see if there's anybody I would recognize in it. I do think I recognize some of these. I mean, obviously, Juliette Lewis and Christina Ricci, but...
Yep. Those are going to be the 2 most recognizable faces. Melanie Lynskey, but again, I think that's going to be more about... Because she was in, like, the Drew Barrymore Ever After kind of Cinderella story. Melanie Lynskey, she was in an episode of The Last of Us on HBO. And then, yeah, I remember seeing her in an older movie with a young Kate Winslet based on a true story of like 2 young girls like murdering one of their moms or something. That was really good. Heavenly Creatures or something, I think. But yeah, Melanie Lynskey's killing it lately. And I really enjoy her character. Her character on Yellow Jackets might be my favorite. So.
She done movies or is it just TV?
Mm-hmm. She's done movies. Oh, I don't know how extensive her IMDb is. Like I said, I do recognize her from just like a handful of things that I saw years and years ago.
Yeah, I'm going through her IMDb now and it's a lot of TV shows. Well, I guess there are some movies. I just don't recognize any of the movies. She looks like somebody I've seen. All right. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you've probably seen her. But anyway, so that's kind of it, because I've just had some pod prep here and there, and I don't really count that, but that's work. Well, shit, I think that's going to do it for us. Are you done? I'm done.
Yeah, I got nothing more to say about the Dreads.
The Dreads.
I don't know if 2 counts as a series, so.
Well, I want to thank you, Dozer, for finally making time for me today and coming on the show. Like I've said a million times this episode so far, I really love our original versus remakes. It's kind of surprising and scary how alike we think with a lot of these movies. Again, I don't want to be in your head. I'm trying to get out of there, so.
Me too.
But thank you so much for joining me today and to talk about these 2. Yeah, the 2 Dreads. And of course, I want to thank all my lovely bubblies for listening, and keep streaming. Bye. Bye.